Before we start the show, I want to thank the thousands of you, the thousands who have read This Book Will Make You Dangerous. Many of you have told me that the book's unique way of exploring fear, confidence, and purpose has had a lasting impact, that it's much easier for you to get clarity and direction about what really matters and what you want to do in this lifetime. It's also amazing to hear that quite a few of you have read it multiple times and even bought copies for friends. So thank you again. Just in case you weren't aware, I created a free companion video course for the book. And in these videos, I walk you through the big takeaways and practices from each chapter. And I even cover some extra stuff that's not included in the book. Information on how to access the course is in newer versions of the book. And if you own an older version of the book and you don't know how to access the course, just hit me up via the contact form at triplanier.com and we'll get you all set up. And one last thing, if you're one of the thousands who have already read the book, please consider leaving an honest review on Amazon so that others can decide if it's right for them. Again, thank you so much for reading This Book Will Make You Dangerous. And now let's start the show.
You are listening to The New Man Beyond the Macho Jerk and the New Age Wimp. Your host is men's coach and group facilitator, Trip Lanier. He is joined in the studio by the show's producer, Casey Capshaw.
What do fear and excitement have in common? What would have us want to feel our emotions fully? And are our bodies good for anything more than a place to dump our groceries? Listen to part two of our talk with Robert Augustus Masters as he shares with us some exercises for how to tap into our greatest power.
So let's get into some practices or some tips that a guy that's listening today can do. Let's identify an issue or something and then give him some tips or practices. Are you up for that?
Sure.
Okay. What's kind of a major issue or topic that we can address right here that you think is very common and something we can address?
Let's say misuse anger, inappropriately expressed anger. And I have a whole book on this because it's such an important topic, because most men I've worked with are confused. They confuse anger with aggression, and there's a big difference.
Okay.
Anger is a vulnerable emotion. It's often close to tears, whereas aggression is simply attack. It can look angry. It can use the energy of anger, but it's attack. And aggression can go two ways. I can be attacking you, or I could be putting myself down. I could point the finger back at me like a lot of women do. In either case, my anger is mutated into aggression, and it's basically harmful. So I'll teach men the difference between the two, and then we'll look at how they've maybe not expressed it cleanly. And I'll teach them about where anger can be contemptuous, it can be sarcastic, it can be passive aggression, it can be all kinds of ways in which it actually does not serve the situation at all. And I'll explain to them along the way that the answer is not to repress it either, because repressed anger is just as harmful to our system as overly expressed or hostile anger, aggressive anger. So some education goes on while I'm talking about, I'll show them through their work, or I'll see them interact with a partner, and they'll start to sense, okay, my tone is harsh. My God, I am putting my kids down when I say it that way. My God, I am shaming my partner. I said, oh my God, look how unkind I am to myself. My inner critic is so vicious. You know, if the anger is turned inward.
Mm-hmm.
So I will spend often quite a bit of time in the groups and sessions educating people about anger, partially through talk, but mostly through practices. So I'll have them practice, for example, yelling at a partner, saying certain phrases that are true for them. I'll show them this was a way to do it that won't make a difference to her. She'll let it in, and the way it can be expressed is harmful. She'll just put her hands up and say, I'm not taking any of that shit. That's just too heavy.
Can you model that a little bit? Can you do like the same phrase in a misused anger way and then the healthy anger way? Or however you would...
I'll do that a little bit with them, but mostly I'll show them how to say it from their guts and breathe deeper, increase the volume, and hold eye contact. And also often at the same time, I go back into times earlier in their life when they first learned to be this way so they can connect it. It's not just behavioral work I'm doing. It's also psychodynamic. It's connected to their history. So if they learned from their father that the way to get angry at a woman is to really put her down, they may have that in their bones, so to speak, and not really know they've inherited that. It's been imprinted in them. Once they get that, I may have them express their anger towards the partner the way their father might have done it, briefly, just briefly. Then I'll have them do it the way I've taught them. And then they'll feel the difference, and their partner will say, God, couldn't stand you the first way you did it, just like your father. Second way, I could let it in. It actually was exciting. Someone will say, God, I really like that. I like the energy. It's intense. It's direct. It's passionate.
Can you demonstrate that right now? Like, give us an unhealthy version and a healthy version?
A little difficult not to be face-to-face. I mean, but it'd be like, I could take an example saying the word like no. I teach the man to say no, and he could go, no, in a way that has a nasty quality. No, it's got a harsh quality. Or it could be no. No, there's power in it. It's direct. It has guts to it, but there's no dark, nasty or cutting edge to it.
I love that distinction between anger and aggression. That yeah. just helped me right there. Like, oh.
Do you have a partner?
I'm in a relationship, yes.
Yeah, so you say with her, you know, you're pissed at her, whether it's legitimate or not, and you're a little tired and you're crabby and you snap at her. It has a nasty edge to it. Maybe there's a bit of subtle put down in it. If you wake up to what you're doing, you go, oh my God, that's aggression. I'm not considering her. I'm not compassionately aligned with her. I'm kind of snapping at her. I'm cutting. Now, if you catch it, you can say, oh, look what I did. I'm sorry, but I still am angry about this. And then you can tell her in a cleaner way. But if you admit that it was unclean, she'll go, oh, she won't like the first version. And if you admit that you've done it, she'll soften and she'll appreciate the fact you have the balls to admit that you were off, rather than accessing that typical male pride. We just don't want to admit we're off at all.
I love it. I love the distinguish of like not apologizing for the fact that I'm actually authentically angry. It's that the apology could come from, I just wasn't clean with it.
The apology is, yeah, I am still pissed at you, and I'm not going to, and I am pissed, but what I just did was unkind. I'm sorry, I was cutting. I know I hurt you with it, but I am pissed that you forgot whatever it was, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And then she'll hear it. You'll say in the second case, you may not be crying, but you'll be vulnerable. She'll be able to tell that you're trying to break down a barrier to the intimacy. Healthy anger actually supports intimacy. To me, it's the guardian of healthy boundaries.
It definitely feels like where that power gets to show up.
Yeah, and I teach a lot of men to, you know, express their anger strongly because I see a lot of men who are afraid. And I'll say to them, you know, fear and anger biochemically are pretty well the same thing. But, you know, when we express it, fear is contraction. We want to run away. The energy goes into our legs. Anger, we want to take action. At least when you're angry, you're not afraid. You can take action.
That's a powerful distinction.
Yeah, and I also say to a lot of people in groups, I'll say, you know what? When they're scared, I'll say, you know what? Fear is excitement and drag.
Yeah, I've heard you say that. I love
say,
that.
All you got to do is expand your energy a little bit, and where you're frightened, suddenly, you start to just feel alive. Maybe you're angry, or maybe you're just passionate. Because anger, to me, is one of the passions. I see the main passions as being like ecstasy, anger, grief, lust. They're all there. And if they're suppressed, there's a problem. If expressed uncleanly, there's a problem too. But I see so many people who do not want to express those things fully. So they're not really living. And when someone gets really angry, often at a certain point, they're not even angry anymore. They're just passionately expressing themselves. You could be doing that with your partner, and suddenly you start to laugh really hard. Or you cry. Or you feel this wave of lust. Or suddenly you feel this joy. I see men who are at the peak of rage, suddenly it metamorphoses into ecstasy in a split second. The energy is so strong, they're not raging anymore. They're ecstatic. And I'm talking about clean rage. I'm not talking about rage where someone gets punched or there's vicious comments made. It's just intense energy.
I get it. I'm just really aware of how many men are out there that spend so much energy and time repressing emotions just because they don't know how to do it in a healthy way. It's not that it's
not,
and so far they've just been like, it's just not healthy, period. So exactly. I'm going to stifle it. But now there's a way to actually move and have this zesty, ecstatic life that you're talking about by being
in
touch with the body.
All I'm really doing in a way with men is I'm giving them permission to be in the pain they're really in and permission to express themselves to. I've seen men, for example, who've had horrendous things like, you know, rape when they were kids. And when they get angry, not tiny, and there's often shame because it's so intense, they want some. They feel like killing sometimes, they're so angry. I give them permission to do that fully. And when they release it, the whole room of men is basically with them. There's a lot of tears. A lot of the men are really angry, too, over what's happened to this guy. But he feels liberated afterwards. There's a little more work to do, you see, but there's a liberation because now he's finally accessed the resources he had to suppress when he was a kid. He didn't dare speak back to the priest or speak back to his abusive father. And now he has a voice.
So maybe we can move on, and you can tell us a bit about the events you've got coming up, one of which is in Boulder on April 26th and 27th. But you're doing a slew of events right now.
A slew. Oh, we're just starting tomorrow. It's just a slew. flew right up until we get back. We get back from a long trip to England in April. We're doing a couple weekends there. We're doing a whole bunch of evening events for integral salons, et cetera. Then we come to Boulder, and we're probably going to do a Friday night event at the Boulder Center for Integral Living like we did last fall.
And that'll be on April 25th?
Yeah, and then the 26th, 27th, we're doing a two-day intensive. We're only going to take 12 people for that, and that one's still filling. So.
And that's for men and women?
Yeah, that's for men and women.
Okay.
Singles, couples, all ages, and I'll do that group with Diane, my wife. We're extremely close, so she assists me in all the groups and has a lot to say and offer, and then you know, she does music, too, in the groups. So I'm looking forward to that weekend in Boulder.
Excellent. Excellent. I look up to you and your work and the practice that you do. And I'm just curious about what is the most challenging practice for you nowadays and your path?
The most challenging practice is staying continuously mindful. Like, in other words, instead of doing the meditation in the morning, years ago, I've shifted to where I practice all during the day. So maintaining a continuous awareness of self in a non-stressful way. I mean, I'm still moving into that. And just staying aware and present. I mean, it's easy to do when I'm working, doing groups and sessions. I can hold presence pretty easily for a long time. But to maintain that in my life is a challenge, which I like a lot.
Excellent. Anything else you want to add, Robert?
No, other than that I really have enjoyed talking with you. I obviously enjoy talking about working with people. Right now we're talking about working with men. And I really, really honor men who have the balls to come and work on themselves. I know more women come to therapy than men. There's more shame for men in doing it. So I really appreciate any man who has the courage to say, you know what, I want to improve my life. I'm willing to ask for help for rather than just staying in my head and relying on books.
I agree. That's why we're here. I appreciate you coming on the show, Robert.
I think it's very cool you have a show on to support this, too.
Thanks a lot. We are beginning to really start to see this groundswell that's developing from the work that we're doing and just spreading the word here. We're very pleased. So, and thank you for coming on the show.
You're very welcome.